Hello everyone, let's get started with today's lecture. So we're starting a new topic today, which is fiber bundles. This is what we're going to focus on for the last part of the course. We're going to see various example fiber bundles. In particular, we're going to see principal bundles, how they apply to gauge theory. And if we have time, and I figure out how to explain it without having to go too much into details, we'll talk about spinor bundles. Okay, so for starting, this is a new topic, so are there any questions about the previous topic? Which was Hamiltonian mechanics, implicit structures, and Noether's theorem. Okay, then I'll just go ahead with this idea of fiber bundles. Before actually giving you the definition, let's motivate what we're trying to do. The idea is the following. We have a manifold M, and we have some space that we're going to call F. This space, we're also going to require to be a manifold because we want everything that we're working with to be smooth, but it could also have some extra structure on top of it. And what we want to do is to attach a copy of this space F to each point in the manifold. So think what we've done with the tangent bundle, cotangent bundles, tensor bundles in general. If we want to talk about, say, vector fields on a manifold, we need to attach at each point of the manifold a space where these vectors live. And if we wanted to do something that's not vectors, then we will need to do something with a different space. So this is our idea. And the simplest way to do this is simply to say, I'm going to look at this manifold, which is just a product of M and F. And you can look at this as this manifold. So you just look at it as the union for all the points in M of the singleton of A times F, which ends up just being M times F because of the way we constructed thing. F is always the same, so you can factor it out in the Cartesian product. This is the simplest way of doing things, and what we're saying here is that we attach F to each A in M in the same way. So we can do this, but this is kind of boring. Because what this is telling us is that at each point, we take a copy of F and attach it there. And then at the next point, I take a copy of F and attach it there. But there is no notion in the way we attach F, which right now is just take the product, of what the point A was. We're just attaching the same space everywhere. So if you think in terms of tangent spaces, for example, when we have a circle and we want to do the tangent space at each point, at this point, we want to attach a certain tangent space that's going to look like this. But at this point, we would like to attach something that looks like this. So we need to take into account which point it is to attach a different kind of space. If you just went and did exactly that, that would be the equivalent of, say, attaching this tangent space here, but then here we attach this space, and then here we attach this space, and so on. They're not going to be tangent anymore because they're just lines, but the notion of rotating them as I go is actually changing them depending on the point. Just as another thing that we have when we have something like this is a map pi that goes from M to F to M, which is just the natural projection. It just takes a point in here, which is a pair of A and F that lives in F, and then we just take the point A. We've used something like this already. It's useful when we want to talk about fields that are now maps that send a point in M to a point in F, but it also keeps track of where we are working with. So this is the most general thing, the most simple thing, but it is kind of boring. Now, let me give you a visual example of what's happening.
Giuseppe?
Yes?
Can I ask a question? So
yes.
In this simplest case, is this small f dependent on the point A, or are you literally just putting this?
It is not. So that's exactly why this is the simplest case. This f does not depend on the point. It's just some space, and at each space, I'm attaching the same exact f.
And you're saying there's a motivation for a Python model we want it to depend on?
Yes. Right, so this is the simplest approach. I'm going to show you an example visually of a simple approach. It's just a 3D thing that I cannot easily draw on the board. And then I'm going to show you an example of something which is not the simplest thing, which is what we want to actually be able to do. But yeah, so this is very boring. It is an example of a fiber bundle, but if they were all like this, then it would be super boring, and none of what we were about to do would be actually meaningful. To start with this, I need to find the other one. Now, the simplest example that I can think of, but that's not something super trivial, would be something like taking as a manifold as one. I don't know if you can read this, but you read it later. We take S1 and then we take R as our space F. When we're doing things, we're thinking attaching a copy of R, which is a line, to each point in the circle. And we're doing that all in the same way. So it's kind of like the one that I did earlier where I had the circle and then I had the horizontal lines. It's just that instead of putting them horizontally, I'm going to put them vertically. I'm allowed to change the way I put them as long as I do the same change for all of them. So this is what that would look like. We have a circle. Here on the plane, and then I have a point, and as I move the point around, I'm going to attach a vertical line to each of these points. And then if I put together all of these lines, I end up with a cylinder. Just if I span all the possible points that I can reach with these things, that's the cylinder. So this is an example of a fiber bundle where we attach a copy of something at each point in a very boring way. Because all I'm doing is taking the circle, attaching a vertical line everywhere. But suppose I want to start doing interesting things with this line. So for example, I want to take this line and I want to, instead of always having it vertical, I want to rotate it with respect to the vertical axis that slices this thing as I go around. Now to do this, I need something that's more general than the construction over there. If I take the product, that's always going to be something like this. So the idea of fiber bundles is to do that instead. And I'm going to have to find the other file, because I think my Dropbox did not sync. So give me a second. So the next example I'm going to show you, I also put a link in the lecture notes, so you can open it and play with it yourself. And it's one of the possible ways that we can build the Mobius bundle. So the way you should think of this is that I have a circle, again, and at each point I'm now attaching a vertical line, but as I move around, I'm rotating it. And I'm rotating it in such a way that when I do a full loop around the circle, I do a rotation by pi only of the vertical line. So by doing this, when I reach the other side and I get back to my initial point, I have actually introduced a twist overall in the way I'm doing the bundle. Now, if you look at this thing locally, if you just look at the section of it, I kind of moved it around a little bit, but in terms of manifolds, I can just smoothly move it back and make it into just a piece of a line with vertical lines attached to it. But globally, I made something interesting. So this is what generally a fiber bundle is. At each point, I am still attaching something. Here, instead of attaching a line, I'm attaching a segment. But it's the same space attached at each point. It's just that the way we attach it around depends on the point that we're at. At each point, I'm attaching a space which is diffeomorphic to the original one. It's still a line. But it's done in such a way then when I move around and I merge things together, now this is non-trivial anymore. So this is not anymore the cylinder. Does this make sense? Yes?
So you're truncating the line, right? Realistically, you're putting like a copy of R on
each. Yes, so this one, locally instead of R, I'm attaching actually something like, so this is only locally. Is S1 times minus 1 to 1, for example. That's the one I did there.
So what if you attach, for example, R or something like that?
You can, and it's actually diffeomorphic to the thing, because minus 1 to 1 is diffeomorphic to R.
Yes, but then you have some lines intersecting, right?
Yes, but so this thing is a geometrical view, so we're actually looking at this thing. If you make this infinite, then yes, if you're trying to look at it, it doesn't make sense anymore. But it's simply because the space that you end up with, one of those infinite lines, is not actually embeddable into R3.
Oh, I see.
It's still a manifold, and it's still isomorphic to that thing, but you cannot embed it into R3, because if you do, you're going to have self-intersections. But you can embed it into something bigger, and then those self-intersections don't happen anymore. That's why we're doing this whole thing with manifolds intrinsically, because all the structure that's there is also in the one that has the infinite one. But then if you try to look at it actually as infinite lines, then you're right, it is kind of, with the cylinder it works, you have just an infinite cylinder. With this it would be weird. The moment you wrap it, then it just gets into itself. So I hope that's enough motivation of why we're doing these things. Now let me tell you how we define the more general notion of something that looks like that locally, but globally it's allowed to have twists or other interesting things. We're going to need a few ingredients. So we're going to have E, M, and F as smooth manifolds. Now, in this course, everything we're doing is always smooth manifolds, but you can actually define these things with manifolds that are not smooth. You can do continuous manifolds, and then every time I say smooth, just replace it with continuous. There will be a more general thing, and it allows you to create more spaces. But for our purposes, smooth is fine. And usually in physics, that's what you end up using. So suppose it's a smooth manifold. Then we say that E is a fiber bundle with base M and fiber F if the following things happen. So the thing that's a bundle is E. This E will be the equivalent to taking the product of M and F, but we're doing it in a more general way. We're going to need a projection. So just like we had a projection there, we're going to have a projection here. So the projection goes from E to M, and this is a smooth surjective map. So the only requirement we have on it is that it's smooth, because everything must be smooth, otherwise we cannot really do anything interesting. And then we just ask that everything in here is covered. And obviously, generally speaking, this is not going to be injective, because this is the map that takes the fibers and attaches and gives you for each fiber the point at which they're based. So if you think of the cylinder, I take a point on the cylinder, and it's going to tell me on which vertical line it is and on which point of the circle the vertical lines belongs to. So if I take this line, any point in this line, when I project it, is going to go down here. That's why we call it a projection. It's like projecting down on your original space. This thing is called the bundle projection. And then the next thing that we ask is that E locally looks like M times F. Now, I'll make this more precise, but the idea is that we again have something that looks like that. We have some kind of projection, and then the space looks like taking the product. It may not look like taking the product overall. If you look at the whole system, there may be something which is non-trivial, like taking for the Mobius band, we are twisting it. But if you just look at the section of the Mobius band, there's no way to distinguish the section from just the cylinder. So let's formalize this. This means that for every point in the base manifold, there is an open subset of the manifold. And remember, we defined what it means for a set to be open in the manifold. We're using the charts to define what the open sets are. So we have an open set of the manifold that contains the point A. And then we have a map phi that goes from pi to the minus 1 of U to U times F, which is a diffeomorphism. So what we're saying is that locally, around each point in M, we can find an open set, and that if we look at all the points in the E set, they came, or they project down to your set U, that will be this thing here, then this part of the bundle is diffeomorphic to U times F. So locally, it looks like taking a product of a section of the manifold M with F. So in terms of the Mobius band, this would be like saying that if I have something like this, this is your Mobius band. If I look around this point, the original manifold will be the circle. So if you look around this point, it's going to be a small section in the circle. And now if you look at the whole region that projects down to this, which would be kind of like this region in the bundle, this looks like just taking this section times the vertical thing. So it looks just like a square, essentially. And of course, it can be, even if there's a little bit of twist, you can always untwist it by doing a smooth transformation. So that's what that is telling us. There's just one extra requirement that we have. And the extra requirement is that this is true. This is just a compact way of writing it, but when we write this, what we're saying is that, first of all, this projection map is the natural projection on the space U times F. This just takes a point A, F in here, and maps it to the point A in here. It's just picking up of the Cartesian product U times F, it just picks up the first thing, forgets about the second one. So what we're saying here is that if I take the projection of the first element of phi x, this is the same as doing pi of x. So in particular, if x belongs to this set, and this will be, if you think of the line, for example, it's all the vertical points that are attached to the same point A. So these are all the points that are attached to point A. Then the projection 1 of phi of x is just A. And there is yet another way of explaining this thing, which may be clearer. So I'm going to give you all possible ways of explaining it, because this is the only thing about this definition which may be a bit more tricky. If we look at this set that we're starting with, we can map this to U in two possible ways. We can apply the projection itself that takes everything in here and maps it to U, because it is just a pre-image of this set. But we can also use the map phi to go from here to U times F. And then U times F to U can also be obtained by taking the projection on the first argument. So their requirement is simply saying that we have these two possible ways of going from here to here. We either project down, or we first make it locally look like U times F, and then we project there. And this should be the same thing. So these trivializations, what we're saying is that they're compatible with the map phi. It's the usual thing you have whenever you have some structure and you want it to be compatible. For example, linear maps. You're saying that you can add things before you apply the map or after you apply the map. That's the same thing here. That would be like saying you have two ways of adding. You either add first, or you transform first, then you add, then you transform back. And you should have the same thing. Does this idea make sense? So it's just that you're not looking for all possible ways of mapping this into this. You're looking for the way of mapping this into this that preserve the projection of your bundle. This is the thing that gives us more structure. Otherwise, it will just be having the set E being locally diffeomorphic to this, but then you lose that idea of you are attaching at each point a copy of this. I'll make this clearer in a second, just nomenclature. The set U phi is called the local trivialization. Because it's a map that locally makes our idea of product manifold, our bundle, look trivial, which is the simple case that I described earlier. Okay, so this is our definition. Hopefully I can make it clear why we're doing these things. So there are a few consequences of things. First of all, one way of thinking again of the projection composed with phi equals pi This is saying that phi preserves. The fiber. To explain what this means, I need to tell you something else. The set FA, which is defined in this way, pi to the minus one of the singleton of A, this is what's called the fiber at A. As I'll show you by putting together all the information there, this is what we interpret as the copy of F attached to A. It's not obvious yet because I need to piece together the things in the definition. On the other end, on U times F, A times F is the copy of F attached to A in U. This one, we already had the idea over there. If you write the product M times F as the union of all these things, each of these things, they're all disjoint because I'm tagging them by A. Remember, it's the same thing we've done with the tangent bundles, for example. So all of these things, even though they are all diffeomorphic to F, because it's just a single point times something, you can easily give it a chart that maps it into F. So even though they are basically the same object, they have extra information, which is this little thing that tells you this is at point A. So we just interpret this whole thing as the copy attached to HA. So when we require that the fiber is preserved, what we're really saying is that if we look at the map that takes X in pi to the minus one of A, then this is actually mapped because of this thing. I wrote there that if x is in pi to the minus 1 of a, the projection of phi of x equals a. This means that this map actually takes x in this space and maps it to the singleton of a times f. So if we call this thing the fiber at a in R manifold, and this is the fiber at A in the local trivial thing, we are saying that the map phi maps fibers to fibers. So in this sense, it preserves the fiber. So it's yet another way of saying it preserves the structure that we're given to our bundle, which is the projection. The projection tells us how to go from each fiber to the point at which they are based. So this is one of the things, and also, as a consequence of this definition and the fact that phi is a diffeomorphism, this map is actually a diffeomorphism. It's smooth because phi is smooth, and it's invertible because the inverse map is simply given by, for each point AF in singleton of A times F, we just associate phi to the minus one of AF, and this is going to live in pi to the minus one of singleton of A. And because phi is a diffeomorphism, phi to the minus one is smooth, so this map is also going to be smooth. So this is telling us that FA is actually diffeomorphic to the singleton of A times F, which itself is diffeomorphic to F. So the reason why we're doing all this is that in this way, the pre-image of a single point on the manifold is going to actually be diffeomorphic to the fiber F, which is the idea of the space you're trying to attach at each point. Moreover, because pi is surjective, we can always say that E equals the union for A in M of pi to the minus 1 of A. The fact that it's surjective means that by projecting down, we cover the whole M. So if you take the pre-image, we cover the whole original thing. So this is just a union of A in M of F. So indeed, our manifold looks like taking the union for all points. So this is actually a disjoint union because each FA knows at which point it's based. So we're taking a union of copies of the fiber for each point. But because I did not make the whole union trivial, there's the possibility that this thing is topologically interesting. So it could be something like the Mobius bundle instead of just the cylinder. So that's our idea. Generally, we want something that looks like this. Each FA looks like a copy of our original space. And this definition is how we achieve that. Oh, any questions about this whole thing? Yes?
Still confused. How can I invert pi? Because it's a projection, how can I invert the projection?
Yes, pi is not invertible. So when we write pi to the minus 1, that's the notation for the pre-image. So it's a good question. I should ask things before, because you may not always know all the symbols that I'm using. When I write something like this, pi to the minus 1, and I feed it a set instead of a point, so this is a set. It's a set, well, really subset of the image of pi. Then this, by definition, is simply the set of all the elements in E that are mapped to U. This is called the pre-image of U. And this object is defined even if pi is not invertible. And we use that notation just because you are technically inverting, but not necessarily inverting. Because this thing is not one-to-one. It's not, we're not saying that there is, for each x, there is a single thing in here. It's entirely possible that multiple things end up to the same point here. But it doesn't matter. And in fact, a map is invertible. So pi injective, if and only if pi to the minus 1 of the singleton of something as a single element. Because this is exactly the set of all the things that are mapped to the same point. If there's only one, then that's it. And if some of them are empty, then it's not invertible. So actually, this is invertible. It's not that injective. Because if this happens to be the empty set, that means there is nothing in the original set that maps to the other one, so it's not surjective. So this has both surjective and injective in it. So whenever you see something like this, we're all saying these are all the points in the fiber bundle E that when you project them down, end up in the set U. Which is locally the idea of what this is. We're just looking at a local part of the manifold. It's just that because it's a manifold and it could be all sorts of weird things, it could have twists in it, we cannot just easily write it as the product of a pair element of A and element of F. In general, it's going to be something that mixes them up. So we're just trying to be the more general we can. In many cases, you can write this as a pair, but it depends on how I define the manifold D. It could be a very weird object. Yes?
So from this definition, it doesn't seem like the trivializations are unique.
They're not.
Overlap and
yes, so when they overlap, you can do transition functions just as you would do usually. And because each of these things is a diffeomorphism, when you overlap, the overlaps are going to be diffeomorphisms. They're going to be smooth.
Yeah.
So at this stage, we don't actually need to worry about transition functions.
Yeah.
All we need to say is that at each point there is one. Just like you define the smooth maps and you say that there is a chart at this point, a chart at this point, and if there is one, then every other chart, just because they are the transition charts, maps are smooth, that's going to be the same. So same thing happens here, is the fact that I say this is a diffeomorphism ensures that any transition charts are going to behave nicely. If it is true for one trivialization, it's true for all trivializations. Now, to be fair, in this case, this doesn't matter. We'll explore this. I don't think we're going to have time today, so we'll probably explore this on Monday, that you can actually, by looking at the transition functions, you can encode all of the structure of the bundle inside the transition functions, which means that you don't actually need to tell me what E is. You can just tell me I have a fiber a base space M. I have the fiber. I want it to be this. I'm going to tell you what the trivializations are. And then you can use that to build up your space E. So you can build a space E that looks like the way you want. So you could do this, for example, for trying to figure out the Mobius band. You just say, OK, so it's a circle. I want to do something in such a way that the transition functions, you need at least two because you have the twist. And when they map into each other, you get a minus sign. By requiring that, you get exactly the Mobius bundle in some weird way that uses quotient sets. But you get something that has a manifold is diffeomorphic to it. OK, this actually takes me to a point that I wanted to make. These sets U, they are not the same as the coordinate charts of your manifold. These are just other sets on the manifold. They could be anything you want. They just need to be open. You could very well have a manifold which is non-trivial, so say the circle. There's no way you're doing the circle with a single chart. But if you do the bundle, which is the cylinder, then there is a unique trivialization, and you only need one of them. And vice versa, there are manifolds that are trivial in the sense that they have only one chart. And then you can build bundles out of them that are non-trivial, and they need more than one chart. So this has really nothing to do with the charts, although in many cases, when you want to construct something, you do choose these things to be the chart sets. But simply because if I don't have any other information about the manifold, that's the only thing I know. Otherwise, how do I pick an arbitrary set? Those are the only sets that we already have that we know, but it does not have to be the same thing. OK, so at this point, let me just give you examples, which I hope are going to clarify what's happening. Any other questions? Examples. The simplest thing you can do is just say that E is M times F, which is exactly what I told you at the very beginning. But we would like to check that indeed this fits into the definition. That's supposed to generalize this idea. And if it doesn't, that's not a very good generalization. So if we have this, we can just take as the projection the map that takes A, F, in E and associates to it A in M. So we just take the natural projection. And in this case, you only need one trivialization. We have a global trivialization. We're going to take U phi to be just the whole manifold M and the identity on M times F. Now, in this case, our phi is going to take any element of the form AF in pi to the minus 1 of m, which is actually the whole thing, and associate to it AF, which is an element in m times f. And because it's the identity, it's trivially a diffeomorphism. So in this case, everything works as expected. The fibers are FA equals A times F. So this is what we call a trivial fiber bundle. Now, in general, we say that a fiber bundle, and by the way, just so you know the notation, people often say that this thing is the fiber bundle, simply because it's a way of giving you three objects at the same time. Otherwise, you will need to say a fiber bundle is the tuple that contains E, M, pi, and F. There's a lot of stuff. Instead, they say this thing is a fiber bundle because it takes three things at the same time. So we say this thing is trivial if it admits a global trivialization. This is important because the simplest example I gave you, just take the product of M and F. But you could have cases in which you're not actually taking just the product, and you still get something trivial out of it. So for example, we have mentioned already, and actually you already proved it in one of the tutorials, that the tangent bundle to the circle is trivial. The tangent bundle to the circle, although I haven't given you the example of the tangent bundle yet, but I'll do that right after this, is not exactly the product, but is diffeomorphic to the product S1 times R, which was a statement that you can find a global frame for the sphere. But as sets, this is not the same as this. So it's not actually a product because you're attaching things in different ways. You are actually, at each point, you are rotating things around. But because you're rotating them around without introducing any twists, in the end, it's the same as doing this. So that's something to keep in mind. That's why trivial does not necessarily mean it is actually the product. It's just that it looks like the product globally. Like when we're sitting there, locally it looks like the product. If it looks like the product everywhere, then it is trivial. Yes?
Sorry. So you mentioned now that without introducing twists, but if I understood you correctly before, you can introduce twists as long as you introduce them in a smooth way, then it's...
What I meant is, if we do attach the tangent space to a circle, yeah, we are rotating things around smoothly. We're not introducing twists in the sense that when you attach these things around, you're not doing that thing where you do a rotation by pi.
Right.
So one way of thinking about it is, if you look at this, if you take the union of all the points of all these lines, you would actually end up with this. Does that make sense? You are taking all those points. Now this thing is diffeomorphic to the cylinder. Just think of, you have the thing, then everything else you wrap vertically, and it lets you go to infinity. And because this thing is going to be open, well, technically this is closed, but you end up, again, with the same idea. You can kind of shrink it down to a point. In any case, the important thing is that it's trivial in the sense that it has a global trivialization. That's what it means to be trivial for fiber bundles. So they can be look non-trivial, but be trivial in the sense that they admit a single global trivialization. Okay, so next example is a manifold, then Tm, the tangent bundle, is a fiber bundle. This is the reason why we call it bundle in the first place. Just that back when I told you about these things, we didn't know about bundles in general. And you don't need to know about bundles in general to define this thing. But now we can see that this is a bundle. So this is a tangent bundle with base M, and the fiber is going to be F is R to the dimension of M. Now let's see why and how do we construct the thing. The projection is the natural projection. Just to remind you things, Tm was this union for A in M of the singleton of A times Tam. The projection is just taking for each pair in this times this is giving us the first thing. So pi takes AV in Tm and associates to it A in M. Now notice that this is not trivial looking because all of these things are actually separate sets. This is not just M times something else, which is important because in general, this is not a trivial bundle. Although in some cases it's trivializable by choosing a global trivialization. And yet you can write the projection still as taking two things and projecting down to another thing. But even though it looks the same, this is not the same as projection one, the map from before, because Tm is not a product. So it has kind of the same form. You take pairs of things, you associate to it the point A, but V is not independent of A. I cannot just take any V in here because V lives in Tam. That's an important thing just to remember. This is, although it looks like the trivial case, it's not trivial. And then for the trivializations, we're going to choose if we have these things, if this is a chart of the manifold M. As I mentioned earlier, the sets that you use for the trivializations don't have to be the same as the charts. But if I don't know anything else about the manifolds, those are the only sets in the manifold that I know of. So I have to use them. So suppose that this is a chart in a manifold, then the trivialization is going to look like this. We're going to have ui phi I, and phi I is going to take an element A vi d over dxi A that lives in pi to the minus 1 of u and associates to it A v1 to vn, which lives in u times Rn. I'm assuming here that the dimension of M is n. We have seen this one already. The only difference between doing this and what we've done earlier when I defined the tangent bundle as a manifold is that I'm not giving coordinates to A. I'm only giving coordinates to the vector part. But other than that, the usual thing. We write the vector in terms of the basis that's given by the coordinates, and then just take the components. And then this is going to be a diffeomorphism because this is an n-dimensional vector space, so is Rn. And we're just mapping components to components, or if you want, we're mapping basis to basis. So this is an example of a tangent bundle, of a fiber bundle. And so is the cotangent bundle, the tensor bundles, those are all bundles. So this is our non-trivial example of a tangent bundle. A fiber bundle. Although it is a tangent bundle, which is an example of itself. Are these things making sense? This is not an easy thing to fully grasp. It's a bit weird, but hopefully giving you enough intuition of why exactly we're doing these things and in which way we are generalizing things. I guess the one thing I forgot to tell you, in this case, the fiber is simply going to be the singleton of A times TA. So it may seem a bit weird. You might think, well, isn't the fiber just TAM? It just, because you want this to also work for trivial things in which all the fibers look the same, if you want to distinguish them, you always need to tag them by attaching the point at the very beginning. Okay, so as it turns out, I have another example that I wanted to give you, but I think it's more interesting if I tell you this other thing instead. So it's in the lecture notes. I may just tell you, I'll give you this example next time. But the next thing we can do is, I mentioned at the very beginning that M is our manifold and F is our space, there could be something more interesting than just a manifold. So we can give more structure to F. And if you give more structure to F, then we get more interesting bundles out of this. So for now, the next step that we're going to see is the notion of a vector bundle. So for example, F vector space. And actually, this example here of the tangent space is an example of a vector bundle. So is the cotangent bundle and all the tensor bundles. So the definition is almost the same, but we're requiring some extra things of those trivializations, because the trivializations now have extra structure they need to preserve. So the definition goes as follows. We're going to say I'm going to give a definition for real vector bundles, but then you can define complex ones just by changing R with C. So we say that a real vector bundle of rank n is a fiber bundle pi. And the fiber is going to be given by Rn. Now, technically, you could use any n-dimensional real vector space, but this F never actually appears in our fiber bundle. F is kind of like a model of what the fiber looks like, and then the actual fibers on the manifolds that are the copies of this thing attached to the manifold, they are things that live in E. So might as well just take the simplest possible model of the real vector space, which is Rn. Okay, so this needs to happen, and there's a property that we need to satisfy. Well, really two properties. We need this such that each Fa, which is pi to the minus 1 of the singleton of A, is a real vector space. So we want the fiber that we are modeling after to be a vector space, and also the fiber on the manifolds, or on the bundle, we would like them to be real vector spaces. And also, if U phi is a local trivialization, then we would like the map that takes x in pi to the minus 1 of the singleton of A and associate to this phi x that lives in A times f. So remember, this was our diffeomorphism between the fibers on the manifold and the fiber that we are modeling after. We want this thing to be linear, which means that this is a vector space isomorphism. So we just have this extra requirement that not only these things preserve the bundle structure, so they are diffeomorphisms that, in a sense, commute with pi, but they also need to preserve the linear structure because they are mapping fibers to fibers, but if one is a vector space, the other one is a vector space, you should preserve the vector space structure. Now, one thing to note is that if, sorry, F should be Rn here. For this map to be linear, I need to tell you what the vector space structure here is. And here, the vector space structure is defined by saying that alpha AV plus beta AW is just A alpha V plus BW. Because the point A is just a tag, we can completely ignore it. Just take the vector in Rn, do all the operations there, and just tag the result with A. So you can easily check that this still satisfies all the things. This is a vector space. It's isomorphic to Rn. So that's going to be our definition of the vector space structure here. And so this construction tells us that all of these things, not only they're vector spaces, but they are diffeomorphic and isomorphic as vector spaces to Rn. So that's our definition of a vector bundle. It's just some extra information that we added on the bundle. And we can do this with other kind of things. So the fiber could be something like a group. And if the fiber is a group, then we would like the fibers on the manifold to also be groups and to be homeomorphic or homomorphic as groups to the thing. And because you want things to be smooth, they will need to be a Lie group. But that's stuff that we're going to look at for the next lecture. And an example of this is already there on the board. Everything stays the same. And now if you look at the fibers, these things are still vector spaces. I'm going to give them the same vector space structure as I did over there. I have this A tag. I'm just going to leave it there. So I'm just going to say that A... say alpha A V is A alpha V. I'll just do this same way as before, same thing for the sum. So these things are vector spaces in an obvious way because these things are vector spaces. And if you look at the trivializations, because we are taking the components in these bases and mapping them to that, this map is obviously linear and it's an isomorphism. Really, it doesn't matter. It's linear, it's invertible, it's an isomorphism. So we don't need to check any of that. So these, all of these spaces, the tangent bundle, cotangent bundle, all the tensor bundles are all vector bundles. Okay, so these are all the examples and things that we have time for today. And then next time I want to show you some other examples. There's another definition of vector bundle, which is interesting, because here I had to tell you that these things were real vector spaces. There's another definition in which you don't give a vector space structure to the fibers. You require something of the transition functions. As I mentioned earlier, you can put all the structure in the transition functions between trivializations, and then you borrow the structure from this vector space. But that's something for next time. Okay, that's everything. Are there any questions about these things? This is not an easy topic, and we're going to spend quite a bit of time on it. Yes?
In this example, you show that the TM, the tangent bundle, can be a fiber bundle?
Yes.
I was wondering, so if you just think about TM, it doesn't have any structure in it, and by what was the process to add the structure to make it a fiber bundle?
So the TM actually does have structure. Oh. So when we defined TM earlier, we already gave it all the structure, because I remember we already had this projection. we use this projection when we wanted to define fields. A field in this thing was a map, so x that goes from m to tm, such that if we take pi of composed with x, this is the same as the identity on m. This requirement is what tells us that it's a field. And the pi we used is exactly the pi. So it already had a projection that we defined. I didn't tell you what the trivializations are, but if you think of the way I defined the charts on TM, the charts on TM were essentially the trivializations. The only difference is that I also gave coordinates to A. The charts that I defined took this thing, and I'll just write it out. There were things like this. I had said there were these, phi I, they take the point A, VI, D over, I guess I'll use a different index, DXJ at A, and this was phi I of A, B1 to V. This is the definition that I used for tangent bundles, but this is simply composing the extra function that gives coordinate to the first thing and just leaves invariant to the second thing with this thing. But that's an invertible function, so I can multiply it or not, and it doesn't change anything. So I'm technically using the thing that we already knew from our tangent bundles, and because that gave us a local diffeomorphism between pi to the minus 1 of u and Rn times Rn, that also gives us a local diffeomorphism with u times Rn, just a u locally looks like Rn. But I guess technically this would be in the phi of u. But phi of u is diffeomorphic to u. So I didn't change any of the structure. This is the same structure as before. I'm just showing you that the tangent bundle we defined is actually a bundle. Yes?
I still don't understand why the projection is not the natural projection there.
Okay. Because there is no notion of natural projection. So what I meant this is that the natural projection only works when you actually have a product space. So if your space E looks like M times F, then there is a natural projection. In general, whenever you have, let's put it this way, whenever you have the product of two spaces, it doesn't matter what they are. So it's a map that goes from, say, x times y to x that takes the pair x, y, and associates to it x. You can always do this, and then you can do the projection on the second factor as well. You can always do this when you have a Cartesian product. What I meant by this is not the natural projection is that TM is not a Cartesian product. It's a union of Cartesian products. So it doesn't make sense to talk about this map because it doesn't exist. That's what I meant. When you look at this, x and y are independent. If I fix x, I can do any y in capital Y. But if I'm looking at this, if I fix A, V cannot be anything you want. It must be on the tangent space at the point A. So just in this sense, it's not just the natural projection. Simply because one of them doesn't exist. So we can stop here. This stuff is weird. So the time we have left, hopefully, is going to become more clear because we're going to just keep doing things about the bundles, we're going to see more examples, we're going to see more structure that they have embedded into them that we didn't actually consider yet. And I'm hoping that by the end of all this, you're going to be familiar enough with these objects that they're not going to be scary anymore.